Yes.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, it's 6 o'clock. I call the meeting to order. And then first up, we have the approval of minutes of last month. They had a chance to review those and I'd like to make a motion.
I make a motion to approve as written.
Have a second.
Second.
Got a second from Eric. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Parks and Rec, Mr. Boffman, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Yeah. So I wanted to let you all know that obviously everyone this summer is facing a water shortage potentially. So in parks, there are going to be some dry areas and possibly no TID water, which is a big deal. The parks doesn't just get water from the city. It has to buy it, and it's very expensive at those volumes. So we're prioritizing areas that will get more water, others that will get less. And one of the priorities that I've been lobbying for is to prioritize areas with trees, so that anywhere where there are significant trees is going to be a top priority for getting water. And of course, hand watering young trees is something we've been doing and will continue to do. So that's kind of a big deal. You'll probably notice some dry areas, lawns and such, but I don't think can be helped this year. So definitely do our best for the trees. And also wanted to mention the Arbor, I guess it's Arbor Month. The whole month of April is Arbor Month in Oregon. So our little tree planting tomorrow, 10 o'clock at Hunter Park. Eric brought a beautiful redbud tree over to plant there. So looking forward to that. It'll be a nice addition. Thanks, Eric. And I hope to see some of you there, as many as can make it. And looking forward to that. So
that's it, Hunter Park.
Yeah, is there a chance you can make it as well, Eric, or you're out of town?
I don't know. I might be able to, depending on how I feel. Right now, I would say no. I was going to leave town.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we'll see.
Okay. Well, anyway, good. We'll see those of you who can make it, and look forward to seeing some of you in person again.
Yeah, likewise. I'll be there.
Is half an hour a good amount of time for that, Peter? I have a 10:45 appointment that I need to get to. Is that
going to be? Yeah, certainly. That would be great if you could make it for half an hour. If it does.
Yeah.
Anything that took a little longer would just be sort of wrapping things up and such. So good.
Cool. And you said you're all set for gear and bodies. It's just one tree. And I know you've got
We'll bring all the stuff to get it planted and protected. So
sounds good. And thanks for hand watering those trees. I don't envy your trees ahead of you. It's a lot of cover. Be a tough year.
Does these parks rely much on TID? Traditionally?
Quite a bit. The North Mountain is traditionally we draw water right out of Bear Creek, which it's part of TID. So even though there's water in Bear Creek, if TID is not going, we're not allowed to pull that out. And Lithia Park gets water from TID where it crosses Ashland Creek up high in the park, and a few of the other parks get some. So it's quite a bit now, and that will probably be a no-go this year. It looks like hopefully we'll get some rain this spring. Next week looks promising, so
good.
Might help.
We'll hope. Okay, Aaron, anything new from your desk?
I was trying to remember, frankly, if I had taken this meeting from the office last month or not. But I think I was still working from home last month.
Seems like either did or the transition was about to happen.
That was it. The transition was about to happen. So I'm back in the office now. There are more people here. We are open to the public on a limited basis. All the city facilities are now open to the public on slightly augmented hours. Part of that's because there's been a lot of efficiencies through moving things online. And so the desire was for all of the city facilities to be on the same page. And so I believe the hours are for all the facilities, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like 9 to 1 is open for walk-ins. And that's true of both City Hall and other facilities as well. As far as meetings go, my understanding of it is that City Council is going back to in-person at their next meeting, which would be, I believe, April 19th. I think they have a study session on the day before that. I would assume that'll also be in person. I just don't know. One of the hangups with that has been, since COVID took place, new laws have been passed that deal with public meetings. And it was seen that, you know, offering virtual interaction obviously provided an opportunity for people to participate who maybe otherwise wouldn't. And so there's a new state law that says for any elected body that's making rendering a decision, the public meeting also has to include the ability for people to participate in a virtual manner. And so they've been trying to sort out what does that look like technologically? Because as you can, you know, as we all have learned through this process, 100% in person works, 100% Zoom works. As soon as you try to make it hybrid, it becomes really complicated really quick, especially in terms of equity and making sure that people are being heard, being able to speak, etc. We've always been told that the advisory commissions will move back to in person, you know, following council. I don't believe that change in state law affects us. As you know, we're an advisory body. The votes that you guys make, I don't believe rise to the level of what that statute covers. So I don't believe that's going to affect us. Anyway, that is about all I have from that position. I guess one other comdev thing I would point out is we do have a new planner on board. Her name's Johanna. I introduced her to the Public Art Commission at my last meeting because she's probably going to take over that commission. It's not certain, but it seems highly likely. And I expect to stay with you guys for the long term. But I would hope that if you guys happen to come by the office, you might meet her. And she's been a great member of our team.
What are those modified hours like? 'Cause I almost popped in today just to get a paper copy of things. Do you know off the top of your head?
I had a handout. Hang on. I have the interwebs right here. The hours that we have listed on our page, there it is. Customer walk-in, 9 to 1 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and staff is available all the time. And, of course, you know, to those of us who have office hours, you know, I'm scheduling appointments as requested, but those are our walk-in hours.
Okay. Great. All right. And as you can see, do we have any members of the public here tonight?
Let's see. Since we started, yes, we do have one. It looks like Chris Brown from Architect is here. He would be representing the 101 A Street application.
Okay. That's all. If you guys are willing, we can adjust the agenda. Put Chris up front.
Do you want me to go ahead and promote him as a panelist?
Let's do that, and I'll read our procedure here.
Perfect.
This is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. The public hearing will be open, and those in interest in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. At the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. After the staff report, the applicants will then have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the presentation. Next, other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Next, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So, I'll call to order planning action, tree 2022-00184. This is at 101 A Street. The owner applicant is Jordan Willing and Christopher Brown. This is a request to modify the recent site design review approval at 101 A Street, planning action T1-2021-00164, to allow the removal of four trees, which were previously identified to be preserved and protected. These removals are proposed in response to the installation of the fire protection system, which requires trenching on the north side of the building. Four new trees are proposed to mitigate these removals. So, we have anything to add to that, Aaron?
You know, the only thing I would add is we see a lot of these applications from time to time where planning action has trees to be protected. Maybe there was some changes in grade or too close to a building and we revisit it again. In this case, you know, my understanding is originally there didn't need to be a fire protection system. Now there does. And simply looking at the main sheet, which would be page 24 of the PDF packet, it's pretty obvious that these just lie in the middle of that trench, and I'd hand it over to Ian for anything else about the application or the particulars.
Okay. Yep. This is Ian. Hi, Ian. Architect. Chris can't join us. He might join remote later. So I'll just need to correct Aaron slightly on that. Due to the schedule of our application, we've had an accelerated schedule, so we've been getting in some of our consultant work, in this case the civil engineering work and the fire sprinkler work. We've got in those from our consultants late in the game, and so that's how we kind of arrived at this situation where after their design work, we arrived at the location of this fire vault and the subsequent trenching to make the connection into the building. I can present my screen if that would help. I can present those materials that were provided to the committee. So maybe I can just give some background on the overall scope of the project. So we're looking at, you know, the 101 A Street building. This was previously Plexus, previously the A Street Marketplace, previously Oak Street Tank and Steel, previously Ashland Fruit Packing Association. So our client is Blue Marble and Jordan Willing. They make National Geographic toys. And so this is the new site of their headquarters. We're remodeling the building in kind of two phases. So we have the concrete side of the building and we have the metal structure attached. So we're calling these areas A, B, and C. So in this phase of the permit, we're renovating interior renovation of areas A and B. Based on the design of the building, due to fire and life safety issues, we need a fire sprinkler system in the building. We have an existing riser room located here. This was previously a glass blowing studio when it was the A Street Marketplace. So there was some existing fire sprinkler system in this room and a riser. So we want to maintain that connection. So we want to tap into that line with our new fire sprinkler system. So that's where we arrive at our fire vault located right here. We'll have our FDC located pretty adjacent to that. And then we have this new trenching that we need to accomplish the fire water line. And so if we look at the civil engineering, the trench detail, we're looking at a 36 inch deep trench. And really they're going straight through those four existing trees on that side of the building. You know, we wanted to try and do our best to preserve those trees, but I think it may be tough given the drip line of those trees. And really this is really the best opportunity for us to bring that the fire sprinkler system into the building. And we're stuck in here between the exterior wall of the building and that property line. There's just not a lot of room right there. So the trees in question, so we have 26, 25, 24, and 23. They range from anywhere from 6 to 10 inches in diameter, and they are golden rains and ashes. And so with the removal of these trees, we would be replanting as with four new trees, and we would be creating more landscaped area in the surrounding area. I think our only possible question is the depth of that trench. You know, it's 3 feet deep down, so we need to look at an appropriate tree. So it's going to be probably smaller trees that can accommodate that shallow depth of a trench. I guess with that, are there any questions that I can answer regarding the scope of the work or our intent?
So in you're saying you guys want to plant the four replacement trees right there in that same swath?
That would be our intent right now. Just kind of looking at the overall property on A Street, you know, there aren't many other opportunities to possibly to relocate them elsewhere on the property. You know, on Oak Street, there's really not any planting area. On A Street, you know, we're right at the property line. So there aren't many other opportunities for trees along that facade. And in the parking area, we are planting, I believe, 11 more trees as a condition of our planning approval. So already we're getting pretty tight on the property as far as relocating.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ian?
I guess maybe I can interject here just quickly. These are the primary trees that we would require a permit for, but we also have three other trees that do not require a permit. But just to give you the background on it, there's a stump located on the railroad track side of the building, planning to have that removed. There's a dead tree in the parking lot area that we plan on removing, and it is right here. And there's a third tree right here that we believe will be disrupted by construction. It's less than 6-inch DBH. And we will be replacing it with a similar tree at the same location. And yep, that's any other questions?
Doesn't sound like it, Ian. Thank you. That's very thorough. Well done. That helps answer a lot of questions. Yeah, so go ahead, and if there's nobody else here to speak, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion. I should ask too, they may have had a chance to look at these, or?
Yeah, I saw them. Mm-hmm. Looks like they've been eating herbicide their entire life.
At least.
Pretty straggly.
At least runoff from creosote on the train track. They're pretty anemic looking, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's really the best place to put new trees, and if there's any spaces in the parking lot area that, you know, may be more conducive to a happy tree.
Yeah, that was my first thought too. But it looks like he alluded to, it sounds like 11 new ones are going in that parking lot, which is great. I mean, that's
11 new ones are already going in. Okay, yeah, I didn't catch that.
Going to get that heat island effect.
Yeah,
it kind of seems to me that, you know, it's like they're not amazing trees. It seems like they do have to come out. I mean, the fire system, that's one of the, I guess, if there's a good reason to remove a tree, that's, you know, I mean, it's a good excuse to, you know, fire, you know, so.
Wouldn't take long for a well cared for tree to get to the size those are now.
Mm-hmm. Although it is on the north side, so it's going to be in the shade like pretty much its whole life. But I just wonder, you know, Ian's question with what to plant there, I don't know. I mean, 3 feet's pretty deep, but it's not that deep. And I just don't know what would like to grow on the north side there as far as a tree. And I could see like ivy or like Virginia creeper or something, but I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
Kind of narrow spacing too, right? Is that the issue with the trench going right through the middle? It'll be a permanent trench.
And you wouldn't want anything too shrubby because there's so much transient camping right against the wall of that building there that's just going to encourage more pooping and peeing and leaving of trash if there's too much shrubbiness.
But a crepe myrtle, I don't know. They like a little more sun, but pretty. Can't do a conifer over there, I imagine, also for fire issues.
And I was thinking there's some tree that's very tolerant of those tough conditions. We were talking about pollution. And
yeah. Sycamore. Yeah. Nobody loves them. We stick them on the north side, but they're too good with pollution, right? Yeah. Anyway, I imagine they're working with a landscape architect, Aaron. I should have asked Aaron.
Yes, I believe they are.
Wow.
So just leave it up to them, unless we have any strong feelings on it.
Not in that spot.
Eric, do you have any recommendations for a tree to be planted like a couple feet from a wall on the north side of the building?
My mind isn't working right now. I'm just kind of here.
Okay.
I mean, I think I'm running at temperature and everything. So I don't. Not right now.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Drink some water.
I got some.
No, I don't have any strong opinions on that side. Crepe myrtle comes to mind just because it's small and can tolerate stuff, but
something really tough.
Yeah, not going to be spectacular, whatever goes over there. Blackberries to go along. and we don't, yeah.
So, cactus plants, that should discourage camping.
Well, I was thinking maybe like Italian cypress would be like an instant tree right there, but.
Yeah, I can think of a few conifers, but that's going to be a no-go.
Fire. issues.
I'm inclined to leave it in the hands of the landscape architect.
But it's fine with me.
Make a motion then to approve. Approve as presented.
A second.
All those in favor? Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
And then I guess I don't know if Ian can people hear us discuss?
Yes. Correct. So, yes.
So hopefully Ian just got that tidbit that we just recommend use their architect.
And I'll include that when I draft the findings.
Cool.
All right. I'll move on to Whitman here. How do you guys pronounce that street name? Whitman?
Whitman.
Whitman?
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'd say Whitman.
Okay. We'll go with Whitman.
I think I've pronounced it both ways.
Yeah.
In the packet, it's pronounced like Whitman or something.
The packet doesn't pronounce it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, well then I'll call to order Planning Action Tree 2022-00183. This is at 373 Whiteman Street. The owner applicant is Brittany Hurst and Rainbow Willis. The request to remove 6 black locust trees in poor condition at the property located at 373 Whiteman Street. One of these trees is large split trunk. The remaining trees are estimated to be 18, 14, 15, 12, and 15 inches diameter breast height. The trees have several broken branches that have done damage to the property at 373 Whiteman Street. The application includes a letter from Earth Stewards Tree Care stating that the trees are hazards with a high likelihood of failure and that tree species is invasive to the state of Oregon. Have any site visits or needs to abstain? Site visits first, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Staff report, please. There.
You know, I don't have much to add except for the fact that I did not know that black locusts were considered invasive. Is that true, Chris?
I think, yeah, it probably qualifies.
Interesting. Yeah, that to me was something I learned through this application.
Mostly because you cut them off and they'll sucker like crazy and cover an area. Nothing to the extent like ailanthus will, but
they said, okay.
Would you guys back that up, what you've seen?
Yeah, I'd say less invasive than ailanthus or cottonwood.
Even. Yeah.
I mean, they're interesting trees. A lot of times you see them in a line because the wood is really hard, so they would use the wood as fence posts, and then the wood would root.
Yeah, it's great wood. It's a false wood, right?
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's great firewood.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thorns aren't any fun to work with, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of got that deep, rich, dark color to it.
I noticed some of the trees had kind of a rust colored on the bark. Like, is that like a type of lichen or what's happening there?
Pretty sure, yeah. But it's
lichen, pretty
not
sure.
Really an issue. The issue is their form, like these, right? They get all these codominant stems and it's in the break a lot.
Yeah, what I saw, I mean, I didn't go onto the property. I just drove by and checked them out. And you know, I didn't see any pictures in the packet of actual decay. It was just described. It would have been nice to see that, but what I saw is just big, tall trees. You know, it's like, I didn't see anything that was just like, oh my God, that needs to be removed. That's a hazard. But yeah, Chris, like the one with three trunks. I think that was three trunks. Oh, yeah, right there. Or four trunks.
At least.
And I can see that probably has some decay in there. Eventually, it's going to come down. Are they going to develop this, Aaron?
I don't believe there's any plans. This is one of those applications where if it was zoned differently, it would be exempt. You know, if this was zoned R110, for example, it would certainly be exempt. But because it's zoned multifamily... and it has more development potential because it only has a single family house on it. And I believe the base density is either 3 or 4. That it puts us into a space where this is the reason that requirement is there when there's a different additional development potential, right? Because if they did have a plan to be doing additional development, we would be evaluating that concurrently. And the criteria would be different because it would be a tree that's not a hazard to enable that development.
And they're probably concerned. You could see where a few branches had failed. That's probably what prompted all of this. But
yeah, overall, the trees, I was looking pretty closely with my binoculars at the canopy, and the majority of the canopy seemed to be budding evenly. There was a lot of green up there. It looked pretty healthy to me. There was obviously a couple of large branches that could do with some trimming and removal, but but you know, once again, I don't know what the hazard is about that tripled trunk tree in terms of potential failure. It looked like there'd been some kind of strapping at some point that wasn't actively in use right now. But yeah, they're not, I mean, in terms of the surrounding canopy, there was quite a few large species in the area. And the fact that these are an invasive species makes me more sympathetic toward their removal, if they need to be removed. And certainly it looks like that lot is ready to be developed. Whether they have that plan in motion right now or not, but that little cabin in the back doesn't look like it's going to last much longer.
Yeah, I agree, Kat. I think the trees relatively looked healthy. I think if there was hazardous limbs, they could be pruned back. But then at the same time, the trees have already reached their height, sort of, you know, they're very kind of maxed out. The invasive part, it's just sort of like every single tree invades, every single tree propagates itself. Right. I mean, it's not like these are going to bring the whole town down. There's black locusts all over it. No one, you know, I mean, it's not like, you know, that just seemed like something kind of like, oh yeah. And they're, by the way, they're invasive. Like, let us cut them down. Yeah. But I think, yeah, the whole lot looked pretty clear. You know, cleared, and it does seem like they're about to do something. So I think that's probably what, like, hey, what do you think these trees? Well, we could call them hazardous, and by the way, they're invasive. That's so, but at the same time, to me, they're not like amazing trees. You know, I think, do they have any plan on replanting them or replanting anything, Aaron?
So you guys are obviously allowed to, the rule is when it's not a hazard, mitigation is required. When it is a hazard, mitigation may be required. So you can certainly include that in your, the intention, of course, is to have them replaced.
And that's where my hang up is, right? The designation of a hazard tree should be a serious one, and one that honestly rarely truly come across as a high risk for failure, which is what he's stating. I guess I question that, especially without a full assessment performed.
It's a pretty brief arborist statement.
Yeah.
It's
pretty brief, and they wouldn't, and to lump them all into that high risk category, I think, is a bit extreme. And I'm with you guys. They're not great trees, but it'd be nice to have something replanted in the stead.
Mm-hmm.
And to see, or, you know, just the level of what we sign off on as a hazard tree, to have a little more thought put into it. It kind of sets a precedent, and we bump in this a lot, just lack of the risk assessment, and because you're a certified arborist, it's, and say it's a hazard tree.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, honestly,
yeah.
And it can get expensive to hire people to do a full on report, but a small fraction of the project, really. Mm-hmm. Those stakes that are laid out? Yeah. Looking too closely into that, but
which image?
The one with number the multi-trunk tree, the four leaders to four and the multiple stems.
Yeah.
Which again, and if I saw that, I was, oh yeah, that's kind of nasty. Let's have a closer look, and maybe they've done that, but. And I don't need to take issue with, and they're not awesome trees, but they're not nothing. And they are, you can see a nest in one of them.
And the fact that they've caused damage before, it's like, well, I mean, every tree drops stuff. You know, the four that are kind of off by the shack, they're just there close to the building.
Yeah. They're all single trunk. Maybe I've lost some branches, but. And I fall back to, well, if this was another time or, you know, a different zoning, there wouldn't be any discussion about it. So
true.
I believe they should be able to do what they want. And if it is preparation for development, then that's exactly why we should be looking at it. But we don't know that. So.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's preparation for development or they just want to remove them, either way, does that change the decision about whether they should be removed? It doesn't seem like any of you think that they're hazard trees, but maybe allowing their removal with replacement trees might be. Possible motion?
Yeah. I'd be okay with that. I mean, I think, you know, as far as setting a precedent, you know, is like, if it's a hazardous tree, like, man, don't just show a picture of the tree, like show a picture of the hazard, you know, but maybe we could just be like, hey, next time, you know, because Earth Stewards, they've submitted applications before or arborist reports before.
Yeah. And usually pretty well thought out, I remembered, but for me, a hazard tree is within the next, you pick the time frame, right? It's a year, 6 months, 5 years. So you're saying within a year, which is what a lot of them are, there's a good chance not only will it fail, but it's going to damage something or somebody. A very good chance. And there's a target present, and under normal weather conditions, it's going to fail. And then the training I received, it was usually low to moderate. And even at that, you know, it's worth examining. You know, we remove trees that are a moderate risk. But for me, that high risk is a pretty high bar. Anyway, but, and that's the lens, the ISA that developed all this, that they were hoping people would see this through as high risk being relatively low. And it gets used a lot, I think, improperly.
The challenge, of course, is that the criteria that we have three options, of course. Emergency, which is we're so stringent on.
Yeah.
Hazard, not a hazard. And really, when you look at the not a hazard criteria, unless you are asking to do the removal to enable some kind of development, e.g. building something, you know, there's no way to navigate that criteria.
And even if they were building something, I guess it would be an easy case to be made that these trees are all within the building footprint and have to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I don't need to belabor it, but I like Kat's solution ultimately. Nice to request that they mitigate.
Any species suggestions?
Yellow locust.
Something that gets, you know, some canopy back up there again would be nice. There's some nice big oaks in that area. I don't know how long they take to get there, or silver maple, or it's a nice big yard. If they put it off to the side where it's not going to interfere with the building envelope as much.
Maybe a native black oak. They are kind of slow growing, but I mean, look at the one across the street. SAU's got some neat ones over there.
Yeah.
Oh, the one at SOU that kind of bumps the sidewalk out? Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we make a motion this time? Any more thoughts, discussion? All right, well, I'll make a motion to approve with the recommendation that the trees be mitigated for by the replanting of replacement trees and a suggestion of a native black oak, but really any large stature shade tree would suffice. And if I don't know if I can pause that discussion, there's how many total being asked for?
Six.
Three.
Six.
One,
six. Three, four. And then the triple trunk. Five by my count. But
basically five stems.
Oh, there is one over the, yes, there are six.
That might, I guess I'm getting at six new big black oak. Might be excessive. And
I agree, Chris. Yeah.
So how
two large stature or four or six smaller stature? That gives them some freedom, or?
Yeah, or maybe, yeah. Keep it simple and say three large stature. I didn't catch all of what you said, but. And I'm sorry, Robert's rules of orders, we're all over the board. Does that be a friendly amendment, or can I adjust my motion?
I'm tracking.
Okay, cool.
So we're going with, was that three large?
Yeah,
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor? With a show of hands, helps.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. And I think, I didn't submit this, but I think one of our guys did the next one on.
You need to recuse yourself from this conversation, right?
Okay. Yep.
I will go ahead and put you as an attendee, and we'll bring you back to wrap up the meeting.
Okie doke.
All right. So, Ms. Vice Chair. We don't need to read the hearing instructions on this one because it's a street tree. And so if you don't mind, I can just tee this up for us all.
Yeah, go for it. Thanks.
Okay. So if this looks familiar, it's because this has been before you twice before. One of the very first meetings, that's why there's a 2019 number there and also a 2022 number there. One of the first meetings where I was working with you guys, this came before you. The decision was there was nothing wrong with the tree. It wasn't in conflict with the power lines yet. It would someday, etc. Yo, as the years go by, the tree has grown. So has our tree application fees. I didn't want him to apply and then be told no again for $100. And so that's when I brought it back to you as a conversation item, either two, maybe three meetings ago. And you guys talked about it and you said, yeah, you know, in light of the now, you seemed receptive to them submitting an application. So while you kind of acknowledged it at that time, the application wasn't formally submitted. Now it is. Here it is. The situation is unchanged from when you saw it last. And that's basically the story is now we're officially coming before you with the application that you've already said that you would be favorable to.
Yep. That's my recollection also. And I seem to remember last time that we had this discussion that we thought maybe, or maybe it was just me, thought a paper bark maple would be a good substitute for this tree. It is definitely the tips of the trees are getting up close to those wires now, so it's going to have to get disfigured pretty soon to adapt. So unless there's a need for extended discussion, does anyone have anything that they need to say or other species suggestions that the Hoyts might want to take into account?
What is interesting because, yeah, this is like a perfect example of what Aaron was talking about, which kind of was like the last, application is like, it's not a hazard and there's nothing going in. You know, the wiggle room for that is less, but
this is different because it's a street tree. The criteria and the that we need to evaluate it against, it's an entirely different section of the code. So we actually have much more flexibility in approving a healthy street tree than you would in, for instance, that last application.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know much about paper bark maple, but yeah, if you guys think that's a great tree, that sounds good to me. And I think this has come before us, you know, even if we were to deny this, I bet it would come back to us again for such a small tree with the intention of having a better suited tree for that environment. I think it's, you know, it is good faith, the correct term, but I think this is kind of what we want. You know, we want people to be thinking about appropriate planting. You know, that's part of our, education, you know, as tree commissioners, one of the things we're supposed to be doing is educating and, you know, getting people involved. You know, I think this is a perfect example of people being involved in a future, you know, thought process, which I think is good as far as planning for the city.
Peter, did you have any thoughts about a substitute there that won't end up having the same fate in 10 or 15 years?
A paper bark maple seemed like a good one to me. Kind of a nice tree that doesn't get real tall. And I like the idea of that.
Okay.
Sweet.
I make a motion to approve the removal with the suggestion of replacing the tree with a paper bark maple. All in favor? All right. And I think that's all our decision making for tonight, right, Aaron? So, correct. Eric, if you need to go and die somewhere quietly.
Bye.
Hi, Eric.
Hope you feel
better.
I hope I feel better too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poor Eric.
Yeah. Seems like he's been sick a few times in the past couple years for meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know you probably all saw the email from Kat, I think was what prompted this. This discussion item on pruning standards. Maybe you want to bring us back up to speed there, Kat.
Yes. So one of my neighbors, Joe Brophy, who is no longer certified but was ISA certified and worked as an arborist for a couple of decades, was very disappointed at the job that L&J arborists did on this magnificent tree that is probably about the same age as the neighborhood, or maybe even predates it in his opinion. Big tree, lion tail kind of pruning. And he sent me photos and he said, "What can you guys do?" And I was like, "Well, we don't really have any oversight. We're not an oversight body for private contractors. We're not a certified, so we don't certify them. I looked up their website. They're not ISA certified anyway. So it didn't seem, my thought initially was to just contact ISA and say, who the hell's this person and what are they doing? And can you tap them on the shoulder and, you know, let them know that this isn't best practice, but they're not certified. So I actually don't know if there's anything we can do other than badmouth them to our friends.
Better Business Bureau, Yelp. I mean, those are two things that come to mind, but I don't know if either of them would be something that would be more than citizen action. Cause I don't imagine that the Tree Commission as a body would be doing that.
Yeah. And it seems like this comes up every couple of years if somebody does a horror show of a pruning, that Catalpa, as you first come into town, was recently. And I think the only thing the I know of, what's that?
The one by the Minute Market on Skidmore. Yeah. Well, she came and got approved to remove it so she could fix the sidewalk. And then she never did anything. And then she had it mutilated. And now it's kind of coming back. It's got some Dr. Seussy.
Yeah.
Meat, but.
Well, it'll be a good match for the one that's now half block away on Laurel.
Yeah. I mean, it could be that what was this company with the elm?
L&J.
L&J.
Is that L&J or J?
I've seen J&J. It's L&J.
Oh, there's a different one called L&J. Okay.
Yeah, this is. I've had other run-ins with them with clients calling that. Okay. They just prune the tree to the property line, like a pine tree, and just it just looks awful. And nothing you can, as far as I know, in the code, the only thing you can do, I think there's something about not topping street trees, if I'm correct, Aaron.
Right.
Correct. And there's also language that if you prune more than 50% of the crown, that counts as a removal. But other than that, I mean, if it was a street tree, we actually do have language in the code about pruning standards, but not for trees on private property.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you know, it's possible like the owner was just like, hey, could you clean up my tree? And they're like, well, sure. You know, but you could also, I mean, as far as things to do, you could talk to the owner and just be like, what did you do? You know, those guys just mangled your tree. And the future of the tree, I mean, they're going to have to preserve any sprout that, you know, they're going to have to try to encourage lower growth, you know.
It's going to look more like, doesn't die.
What's that, Chris?
It's going to look awful if it doesn't outright die. And then all, as you know, all those branches are going to be more weakly attached, more likely to fall off. And
yeah.
On and on.
Yeah.
That's a shame. I saw it too. It happens, you know, in one day, and unless you see it actually happening, then you notice it afterwards.
Yeah, no, I drove by the night before you sent that email, and my jaw just dropped, and my wife had to encourage me to look back at the road that I was driving on. But I was so disappointed. That was a tricky pruning that we did a few years ago. New owners now, and anyway, yeah, it was disappointing. Neat old tree.
Mm. Yeah, what street did you say that's on, Kat?
Laurel. Yeah, it's in between Van Ness and Main Street. It's not too far from that one, the big one opposite on Skidmore. It's just down the Ashley Alley from that.
Yeah, I happen to go. What's that, Chris?
No, go ahead.
Last month or 2 months ago, we approved that huge American elm on A Street to get removed. Mm-hmm. And I happened to drive by when that thing was getting removed. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is such a drastic difference. You know,
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Like Peter was saying, like when you see it happening, it's interesting.
Then this summer in the hot weather, boy, they'll really probably realize what a difference that will make.
You got to buy an air conditioner. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's a bunch of birds that have pretty much already realized what difference it makes. That's, you know, one thing I was wondering about with the, not to change the subject, but the pond and all of the tree removals that are going, or the pipeline work, which is going to disrupt a lot of migratory birds nesting at the Ashland Pond. Does that conflict with the Migratory Bird Protection Act? Are they not supposed to do it outside of nesting periods?
Is this at the wastewater treatment center, like behind? Yeah. And so we did some of that work on removals, and the city was very clear with us, and just that it needed to be done within a certain time period. And I don't know now that they've got big machines and things in there, but I think my understanding, all the tree work should be done.
Okay, so it's just tree work, not other work is restricted.
I would think it would be, just as a general. I mean, it's a blanket. It wasn't written in 1990 and say just for tree services, you got to adhere to this. It's any disruption of that. Mm.
Yeah, it's been a few years since we took that class at SOU with ISA, but I thought it was you're not supposed to work within 30 feet of an active nest, and then 100 feet if it's a bird of prey.
Yeah, raptor, yeah.
And that was, I guess, a noise thing. You're not supposed to work as far as like making noise, because of course you're not supposed to like, you know, mess with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I think we're not. Is it officially April 12th? Is that migration season?
Seeing birds start to do their thing.
Yeah, squirrels.
Oh yeah, everything. There's already active nests sitting down there, but I mean, I don't know.
It's worth Kaylee at Public Works is very responsive and seemed very sympathetic to that as well, and trying to do mm-hmm. it well. Anyway, I'm sure she would respond.
Yeah, it's just been so tough for local birds because, you know, with the big fire all the way through the Greenway and then all the massive clearing that they did last season right in the middle of nest building through all that blackberry, all the brush along the Greenway. I know it has to happen, but doing it always right when the birds are trying to create the next generation is just like this. So this will be the third really disruptive nesting season for those birds in that area. And it's just, I don't know.
Well, as far as evolution, the future is going to be some badass birds.
manage to produce any at all.
Are you a birder, Kat? Do you know your birds and things?
Yeah. I'm down at the pond most every day, just kind of looking and seeing who's down there. And there's a lot of birds that rely on that little area to breed.
Would you be open to inspecting some sites for us as we come across it, or really anything? Just, you know, wondering if it's an active one or what kind of nest it might be, or
sure. I mean, unless there's birds on it, it's a little hard to tell. Sometimes you can tell from the nest design what kind of species it is. There's certainly other people that I'm friends with that would be better qualified to make that kind of call. But yeah, I can definitely identify species pretty well throughout the valley. Yeah. Give me a good picture. I can even do it without going to the site.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kat, are you keeping track of that blue heron? Mm-hmm. that is really neat.
So last season we had, there's a big cottonwood that had a pair of great blue herons that raised four chicks successfully, and they all fledged. And they've just returned and they're sitting on the nest. They've been sitting on the nest now for about a week. Looks like they're pretty actively either laying or sitting. And at the beginning of the season, some of the juveniles came back too. And great blue herons will often form big roosts where there's a bunch of nests in one tree. They lost the big tree that was to the north of here along the Greenway a few years back, apparently, which was a big roosting tree for them. So I'm hoping that this tree is going to survive. It's pretty scorched from the fire, but it looked okay last year. If any of you are down there and you look at that cottonwood tree, I'd be really interested to hear what you have to say about its long-term future, because it definitely got pretty scorched.
Yeah.
Where's that one? I'm sorry. You said along the Greenway, but.
Yeah, it's in between the pond and the creek. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the north side of the pond and you look up, you'll see a pretty big nest there. And you'll probably see a bunch of people standing around with their binoculars and cameras. Everyone's pretty excited about it right now.
That is neat.
They're amazing chicks. Google great blue heron chick and you'll be impressed, and you'll get excited, and you'll go down there with your binoculars too if you're a geek like I am, because they're great. They've got these great big mohawks and they're just really, really cool looking birds.
Yeah, there's a rookery of great blue herons out by Emery Lake, kind of to the southeast. If you walk on that trail, you can find it.
Okay.
Probably about five nests all right together.
So if you go to the very far parking lot near where the boat ramp is, or where they take off to go paragliding?
Yeah, Greenspring Spur Road. if you walk south from the Green Spring Spur Road or park where the Frisbee Golf Course is, and then walk east along the trail. And it's kind of right, it's in a wooded area.
Neat.
Yeah. Oh, there's also tons of wood rat nests, like hundreds of wood rat nests.
Oh, yeah.
Sticks everywhere. And it's like, those things are weird.
They're very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, well, so not to digress too much, but
yeah.
It's good stuff. We got the time today.
Yeah.
As far as pruning standards, yeah, I don't know of any mechanism the city has. I think it's a free market capitalism. Tell your friends not to hire them. And there's so many good arborists around that, and there's just a couple companies I know of that would do a job like that. And,
Do we have anything in our verbiage about hiring people who are ISA certified? Would that?
That's a hard one to get into too, because Casey Rowland, awesome arborist, never got certified.
Right.
As far as I know,
I think he was, and then he gave it up, and there's no record of him ever happening. But I'm not ISA certified.
So it's not a panacea. There's a lot of bad
certified
arborists that just get that stamp and say they're certified. And I don't know. And we even, I think, discussed, everybody's got to get a business license. But nobody's going to do work like that is going to get a business license and a pamphlet and say, oh, this is how I should do it better because City of Ashland told me. His point being, I have seen those companies kind of get weeded out and work less and less in Ashland just because it's such a tight-knit community and word of mouth reputation goes a long way. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's a couple of trees. But
They do have an option on their website to say, contact us. So if you want to drop a quick line and say, wow, shitty job.
And that would mean a lot coming from Joe too. I mean, Joe's well known, right? He's been here a long time.
Yeah, they have started approaching the company themselves, but they haven't gone to the full extent of just letting them know exactly what they thought. But yeah, I will let them know that that's always their prerogative.
Aaron,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Aaron mentioned that we do have bona fide standards for street tree pruning.
No, what the code says is that you're required to have permission to prune. It's a section of the code that has, I don't think, ever been enforced. If people call me and say, can I prune a street tree? What are the standards? But to my knowledge, we've never issued a, here's your permission to prune. It's one of those things that has been in the code for a long time. As we discussed, changing language in the land use ordinance or the municipal code takes effort. And so sometimes you have those vestigial things that hang in the code for a long period of time. But it doesn't have standards per se. What it says is you need permission from the city to prune a street tree.
As well as don't remove more than 50% of the canopy. That's there too.
Is it 50%? I thought it was 30. It's 50.
I believe it's 50, and that's in the definition section of AMC 18.6.
But Kat, as far as general
knowledge, seems a
30%
lot.
Is 30% is kind of usually the maximum that people go for, unless it's a fruit tree.
Yeah. And these guys. Yeah. Tree of the year. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kat has proven that if you, as an individual, endorse a particular tree, you could make your tree be tree of the year. So,
It wasn't just me. I have to say, there were friends of mine that were also fans that did social media campaigns. So,
I gotta say, I'm a little bit disappointed. In total, we had 68 votes cast. I didn't go back and look specifically, but my recollection is we've had on the order of between 100 and 200 votes. So pretty low turnout in terms of voting for Tree of the Year. But I think when we stopped handing out a plaque, some love was lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a great tree, and it's not a huge one. So it's pretty cool that a non-huge tree won.
Yeah. Such a unique one.
Yeah.
I was just at the Noble the other day. Yeah, I was saying, I want to. I said, yeah, I think I got nominated for Tree of the Year. I can say it won. Do we want to revamp ramps or plaques rather?
You don't have the budget.
We do a bank sale on Arbor Day.
Yeah, Kat, seriously, you would need to do a bake sale on Arbor Day. The last time I looked, a small custom plaque like we used to do runs about $200 to $300. And the bucket of money that we get has gotten smaller and smaller. And I would have a hard time registering us for Earth Day at this point.
Oh, man. Well,
speaking of Earth Day, I know the organizer stepped down from that Earth Day event, so I don't know if anyone's taken it on. I haven't heard.
You're talking about the SOU Earth Day event specifically?
No, the one at ScienceWorks.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that happening this year.
No Siskiyou Challenge, no Earth Day, no real Arbor Day. But if you guys plant trees on Arbor Day, in addition to Pete's, they're planting a bunch at Talent Middle School on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
50 of them.
Maybe I'll go to the nursery and find myself a little tree too. I'm running out of space on my 0.1 of an acre.
I've got 32 of them. No backyard. I think.
Sorry I was late, guys. And Peter, you probably talked about this, but yeah, I was having a hard time getting my computer to load. But is yours planting or our planting? You're planting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes, at Hunter Park.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I plan on being there.
Great.
And I will be absent in July. I'm going to Australia.
Oh, cool.
Sweet.
One more Arbor Day tidbit. SOU is also doing an event this year. I can get you the date if you're interested.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah, that one looked kind of dormant. They used to do. Mike used to put together a neat show out there.
Yeah, I got his shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost there. 29th. SOU Arbor Day.
Any word on that willow, Peter?
So, yeah, that was part of the it was in the way of the
pipe, the
effluent from the wastewater plant is what I understood. Yeah.
Well, then why did they cut the one that was at the bottom of the field in the middle of bloody nowhere? It's the only tree in that field that had any shade. And that one got completely cut. How big is this pipe? Because that's about 50, 60 feet away from the willow. That tree was perfectly alive.
I have done some work for several clients on Glendower, and the whole neighborhood is pretty freaked about fire.
This was on Park's land. It was in the bottom of that field in the middle of the
pasture.
Bottom of that field, right, kind of the trail walks down the edge of the field and it will across the bottom. It was kind of right smack in the middle of that. It wasn't a huge tree, but it was the only bit of shade.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's possible they said, hey, by the way, could you cut that down? You know, kind of.
Oh, it's nowhere near any property. It's at least 50, 60, 70 feet from a house even, so. But yeah, I know
that.
I know.
Do you think that one did not look like it was in the area of the pipe?
Well, it's at least 50 feet away from the willow, so I'm very unclear on where the pipe's going. And if the pipe is going down near the willow, then why have they done all that planting?
Kat, I can put you in touch with someone in Public Works who can perhaps give you some additional information on that project if you'd like. I don't have knowledge about it personally, but I know it went through a planning action. So right. If I could put you in touch with someone from Public Works, they'd be able to provide you additional drawings and whatnot.
I'm just curious about why that willow had to be removed. It was a huge tree. There was a lot of things living in it, and it looks like it survived the fire pretty well. And it's gone now. I don't, you know.
That's what I understood, was that it was because of that pipeline, but it's possible. I could have been misinformed.
Do you know when they're going to put the pipe in? What's the planned work?
Boy, I thought it was going to be pretty soon, that maybe this year, but we've been talking about that for quite a while now. It could be delayed.
Oh,
I don't know what the exact schedule of it is right now, but
who would know that, Aaron? Do you know who's planning the work on that pipe? From
I know that project has been in planning for a long time. It was going through plan review for the physical and environmental constraints almost 3 years ago. I don't know who in Public Works I would put you in touch with. I would start by talking to Carl and go from there.
Okay. Great.
And I think, as Chris mentioned, I think Kaylee.
I think she was managing it.
She seemed like she was always involved mm-hmm. with that.
I'll check with Public Works and put you in touch with the right person, Kat.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Okay. Anything else?
Great. Full bloom. All the trees look so beautiful right now.
Yeah.
It's black fruit blooming. The stone fruits. Apples and almonds are kind of almost past, but
still exciting every year. I'm such a tree lover.
Yeah.
Good times.
It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 7:13, adjourned.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I heard on a talk on the radio about bronze birch borer making its way closer. It's currently in Colorado.
Bronze birch borer?
Emerald ash borer. Yeah. And they were talking about collecting ash seeds around Oregon in multiple elevations, trying to kind of see if they could get, if it does happen, they want those genetics for afterwards.
Yeah.
It sounded pretty scary. It was just like, whoa.
Is that because of warm winters?
Apparently in Asia or Japan or China or something, it only attacks weak ashes. But here in the United States, supposedly it's attacking every ash, and it's killing every all of them. And they just, the locales that it's, the beetles have already gone through, they just say, we wish we collected seeds. So I think Oregon has got a head start in that department. But yeah, it's just like crazy. It's like every, I forget how many ashes that they said were native here, like 4 or 16 or something like that, but it's attacking every single species that's native to Oregon.
Yikes.
And there's a lot of cool Oregon ashes.
Yeah, that's a neat tree.
Riparian areas too. Yeah, I got a sister in Des Moines, and her old street lost every single ash.
Oh, God.
It's kind of like that challenge before it. Yeah.
How awful.
Yeah, so I guess don't let anyone bring firewood from Colorado into Oregon.
Yeah. Well, with the drought they're having, I think they'll have plenty of dead trees to choose from for their own firewood, just like we do here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry to interrupt, Chris.
No, not at all. I think that was it. We're adjourned. See you next time.
Cool. See you tomorrow.
Happy spring. Bye. Yeah. See you in the morning.